It's time for the percolator. 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 It's time for the percolator.
Actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with people you just did battle with should never be taken away.
But I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to like it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the School of Hard Knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
Can you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds? You might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Food Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your geese on claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh yeah! It's Thursday night. And boy, are these levels going absolutely apeshit here. It's just getting crazy right now. All the levels are up in the red, and you know it's a party when your levels...
Turn me up in the headphones, son.
...are in the red. And you know it's time for Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Plum, of course. I got the boys with me. Chef Jeffy's here.
What up?
And of course, the one and only, the Danimal himself, the king of the Danalogs, Chef Dan. What's up, buddy?
Ripping shit up, you know how I do.
Ah! That's very exciting. That's all very exciting.
I'm up for
it.
I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's rock. I feel like an X-Man. I feel like a mutant. I'm ready to let it go.
Wow, let's do it then.
It's time for the percolator. Mm.
It's time for the percolator. This song is the shit. I have no idea why I like this song so much.
Oh yeah.
Well, look, we're hanging out here on a Thursday. It's some dog days of summer. It's July, late July. August is just around the corner. And Jeffy, what a summer it's been. It's been really fun. You've gone everywhere. You died. You came back to life. You got cloned. This is all incredible.
All these things and more, right here on Plum of Foods Live every Thursday.
It's all happened. And I'll tell you what, big shout out to my buddy, Charlie Keeler. He is a fan of the program, and he just wants to know who else we're going to kill this week. Because he said, in the canon of Plum Love Foods Live, you could kill off anybody if you wanted to. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. We could kill off people.
All right, Charlie. You're dead to us.
No, not we're going to kill off Charlie. That's the guy who was. No, Jeff, you took it all wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
We don't kill Charlie.
Oh. Sorry.
Wait, I'm with Jeff, though. I mean, you letting this guy come
what
in.
What the fuck?
Say, oh, we're going to kill one of us. Like, hold on a minute.
Well, no, yo, he was talking more like...
Yo, protect your neck, Charlie.
No, he was talking more like, we could say, the Lady Gaga is dead. Mm. Like, in this universe, in our universe, we could take her out.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I don't know, that's a whole universe to live in.
I can see that. I can see that.
Like, it's not
like
just...
Like, in that one universe, how they killed the Illuminati with a click of the fingers. Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, what? I didn't see it.
Yes, you did.
All right, well, I thought it was funny. He was like, you could kill off anybody. He goes, you killed Jeffy, then brought him back. And I was like, no, that is a clone Jeffy. That's Jeffy number two.
Listen, He's like, we got a couple in the bank. Don't worry, guys. I'm probably not going to ever go anywhere.
Hell yeah. We like to hear.
This is the top of the food chain for Jeffy right here on Plum Low Foods Live.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, worked a great party with Jeffy last night. It was fun going to his work and working with them. Had the A squad out there, Jeffy. It was fun.
Yeah, no, we had the hitters. We had the heavy hitters. We pumped out some beautiful food.
It was beautiful.
You guys did a tremendous job. Everyone that was there, I couldn't have been prouder to be part of it.
You know, your boy had to come in there and be electrifying.
Yeah, no, you were electrifying. Yeah, you were on point with a bunch of stuff. The pies were on point. Pizza was coming out. All the hors d'oeuvres looked beautiful. Steaks were cooked just right. Michelle Regustis.
Oh, shout out to Michelle Regustis. Love her.
Sister Michelle, we love her.
Shout out to Maddie.
Chef Maddie Barris, the OG private chef.
Yeah, he's a good brother. It was fun, Jeffy, to get back. I felt like I was running an expo again. It was awesome. I hadn't done it in a while.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was really good. It was really good. And I'm glad you stopped in and just did that, because that was what I was probably going to do. That was what I was hoping you were going to do, and I was going to everything happened exactly what I was hoping was going to happen.
Wait, you were hoping that I was going to jump in the middle of it and start being the loudest person and take control?
Well, I was going to tell
me?
I was going to tell you to work that position because I could just pump pizzas.
Well, this is the thing. Listen,
just take everything up and then hand it off to the servers.
I want to stop you really quick, Jeffy. I want to stop you really quick. So, Jeffy, it was his party. He's executive chef of that party, and it was his party. No question about it. No doubt about it. But let me tell you something, Dan. Let me tell you something. I mean, Jeffy is a G on the pizza oven. I'm telling you, his pizza. I used to think of myself as having some pretty good pizza skills. Mine are like, I'm a C+ compared to Jeffy. He is a G on a pizza oven. So if there's a pizza oven, he needs to be on that.
I enjoy doing it too. That's my favorite, probably. Especially as I get older, it goes back to me. It just makes me pushes me somewhere
I'm excited.
Inside.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna get some of that pizza.
Dan's coming out next Friday. We're gonna be doing a big party. Dan, chef's buddy Adam's gonna be there. It's gonna be great, man. We're gonna be pumping food out. It's gonna be fantastic.
Yeah, I love that guy. That guy's great.
It's my dude right there.
But having Jeff, you can see he was crushing it, man. And it just made sense. It was almost like everybody kind of fell into a role that was good for them. Michelle was on the
Anna,
grill.
I don't know your last name, but you washed dishes for 19 hours. It was amazing.
What was her name?
Anna.
Oh yeah, Anna. I liked her a lot. She was good.
Yeah, she was great. Yeah,
one of the servers was hitting on me. That made me feel great.
Yeah, she loved the color of your hair. She was like, ooh.
Oh, she was into it. She was like, it makes your eyes look so pretty.
They're like electric. Oh.
I was like, you know, I bring that electricity. I give the people what they want.
Chef Aquaman.
As I come here and call out the appetizers for the millions and millions.
Yeah, it was pretty powerful. It was pretty powerful. Anybody who missed it, I'm sorry. It was a private party.
Nah, it was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come hang out there, Jeffy. I enjoyed it.
No, absolutely. Like I said, it was an important part of me, so we brought in the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, me and Yair are a dream team. You know, he wrote 2/3 of that menu, and we just kind of fine-tuned it together, and then you guys helped beautifully execute it, so, I mean, I couldn't ask for more.
Yeah, it was great, man. It was a great party. 60 people. It was a family-style plated dinner, a bunch of appetizers.
Ended up being a buffet.
We could talk about that a little bit, too. Not that particular, but just those things that happen on last minute of the party.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things about that party was, Jeffy, it just goes to show that, like, if we ever did decide to get back into the restaurant business, we'd be a hell of a team.
Yeah, no. I say it all the time, and it's going to happen because I will it to happen because I'm that kind of guy. You know, God willing, knock on wood, whatever you got to do, whatever's taboo, I'm in there, and we're going to have us so the new dream is one side of the restaurant is a sports bar. TV's everywhere. We make, like, the best burger in town, best wings in town. It's pumping, right? Then across the middle, arcade, fucking big-ass roller rink floor right across the center. And on the other side, a couple pizza ovens, and we do just pizza slices and to go. And that's the other side of the parking lot where the guys can come in and out so we can hustle to goes. And then we have like a whole empire of like a three. We hit all the fucking things. Private parties, the fucking every kid's event in the area, all the fucking office parties at the bar for the fucking kick-ass bar food.
This feels like a lot of insurance.
Oh, bro, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be millions of dollars, but we're going to do it, and it's going to be better than everybody else's. Dan's going to be in there doing amazing things.
And the best part is you don't have to wear pants.
Yeah, pants optional. That's the name of the place.
What a great name. That's a great fucking name.
Yeah, pants optional.
My original name was going to be Yellow Squash, but Jeffy's right. Pants optional is way better.
Pants optional. I mean, there's a whole... You have to wear like a grass skirt on the area, like through the arcade when you're passing between Well, it's 21 and older in the bars. But, we have to... There's a kid-friendly area where you drop your kids off.
All right.
Listen, I don't want you knocking anybody out with that war club of yours. So you'll be terrible. awful accident. Hey, skater. Bam. Next thing you know, somebody's dead.
Hey, skater. Dan, what do you think? You in?
Yo, guys, I'm down for whatever, man. You know me. That sounds amazing. I just want to know these arcade games. Can I pick the arcade games? And can we have we gotta have classic joints?
I want to pick some too. It's not just
I'm gonna
you.
Tell you right now.
Right now,
we're a trifecta partnership, and I would never say no to either of you. And this is my other thing. Ready? If there's some place in that place that has a bare wall and it's not making us money, it's fucking dead space. So there's plenty of room for arcade games around that whole bitch, right? We're going to load it up. There's going to be 30 or 40 of those bitches in there. We're going to get solar panels just for our arcade games. We're going to get magazines because we have solar paneled arcade. It's going to be a fucking thing.
Jeffy is on fire right now. Jeffy's brain is working faster than his mouth. Can you hear it?
Yo.
That's what I'm talking about. That we're gonna get one of those automat machines from our friend Stratus, and we're gonna put them up on that dead space wall, Jeffy, and we're gonna put food in there.
I love it.
Yo, prepare food's where it's at, man. You can sell that shit. Yo, prepare food is key, man. People want to bring it home, they'll stop in, especially if they have if you set it up so that you can do the roller derby thing.
We're gonna have the fucking we can have those little lockers and from both restaurants when people order, we can just put them right in those lockers and they can come pick it up like contactless pickup for all the orders, and then you can get it done faster and just throw in the lockers where it stays warm.
I love it. Lots of great beers. This is gonna be a great place. I can't wait. What's it called again?
Pants optional
sounds like a great place. I can't wait to go there.
Yeah, baby.
I think you guys should all come too. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to check it out. Pants optional. Opening Woo! Soon. Somewhere.
Can I have a gym? Can there be a gym?
Oh, stop.
We'll have a gym in the basement for the bouncers and for us.
Do we have to have bouncers?
Yeah, we need bouncers. It's a fucking sports bar, dog.
You have the sports bar, but you have the gym, but the gym's dope. Like, it's like a basketball area that's like set up like old school, like street ball. And then you got like the gym is like one bench. Like a fucking pull-up bar and some curls. And it's just like this dope, like old school punching bag. Maybe a little boxing area. You play UFC matches in there. Shit gets crazy.
No, listen. Attract a nefarious element as well. You know, I got to keep it 100.
I just love a sports bar because that's where I grew up in. And that's where I cut my chops when I was very, very young. And I mean, I'll tell you what. Those
first
football
time you
Sunday,
kissed a guy.
That's allegedly. God, can we just talk about that for a second? I mean, how quickly at your event yesterday, everything turned to being a slightly homosexual. And nobody, it's just the way it goes.
Hold on. Can we talk about that also for a second? Let's shout out Big J, Focus Catering and Focus Events, bringing in the male energy. Strong.
Yes.
He's got a lot of strong male energy.
Strong. He's gonna love. Is he gonna be there when Dan comes? He's gonna love Dan.
I hope so. He's got a lot of amazing energy. I don't know. He's like a little bear. I don't know what you'd call him. Like a little brown bear, a little black bear, little guinea. I don't know. He brings a lot of male energy. That was actually the most females that I've ever seen on the floor while he was the captain in my entire life. And I've known him for 20 years.
Dude, I don't know. It was a great party. It was a lot of fun. And I think that guy's great. I really do. I was messing with him pretty hard. He's a great guy.
Jay? Jay is the man, dude. I've known him for 20 years. No bullshit. I've worked with him in some capacity off and on for 20 years. And he's always been there to make me look good. Shout out, Jay.
The amount of people, though, that you feed, like, I felt like we waited around for two hours of our night was given, like, the staff time to eat.
Part of what I do, man.
But I'm like, bro, we could have gone home an hour earlier if we didn't wait 2 hours for the staff to eat.
This is what, I mean, didn't you get paid really well, though?
I mean, you did okay.
How many people was it for?
It was 60 people.
60 people. There was about 12 waiters.
And Jay was who? The head server? He was the head server?
Yeah, he's the captain. Yeah.
Okay, captain, okay.
And, I mean, it was great. We had a good time.
I mean, I do feel like I should have made a little extra than everybody else just because, I'm not going to drop any names, but the important people in the house were making a point to come talk to me, which I thought was very nice.
Yeah, but they went and talked to Matt, and they went to talk to Michelle, too.
Exactly.
Michelle and Matt were there for 2 days.
I mean, allegedly.
Well, they were. They were there for 2 days. They worked really long hours for 2 days.
I didn't see it.
I mean, Michelle left a tiny bit early, but she works really hard before she left.
She left 5 hours early.
Yeah, it was like two hours early. She had that dressing in her socks.
So, Jesse, I'm just fucking around, man. You know I'm just messing with you. I had a great time. Yeah. It was awesome. I'll go with you anywhere. You want me to go to the ends of the earth, I'll go with you.
You don't have to say that. Because if you weren't fucking around, I would be really, I would be irate with you right now.
No, you wouldn't. Irate's a strong word.
Yeah, but you know how I'm a fiery Sicilian. It happens all of a sudden. Next thing you know, I'm like,
You would talk to me like you talk to people who drive around here.
Mom, don't come at me all fucking sideways.
Come at me all fucking sideways. Look, Club Love Foods Live. It's your boys. We don't have any guests tonight. We're hanging out just talking. We've got some lists to go through, some news to talk about. It's your boy, Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, and Chef Dan hanging with you guys. We're excited to talk, excited to break some knowledge. We're looking forward to it. We got some things to bring up, some things to talk about. But right now, we're going to take a 2-second break because I got to pop the top on a cold one and get ready for this next hour. So when we come back, what's so funny?
Because you're like, I got to drink before this. I got to get this down before the commercials because this next hour is going to be rough. Because I got Dan and Jeff in here. We're about to talk about some crazy shit. You don't know where it's going to go. You know what chances are. It's just going to go off the rails. It's going to be crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Danalog.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
The night's never complete without that.
Nah, it was fantastic. You're welcome. Stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll be right back.
Jeffy and Friends is taped in front of a live studio audience.
Man, this virus is everywhere.
Seriously, I'm pretty sure I saw a homeless guy selling vaccines on the subway.
I don't think that's real, but we are out of weed.
Damn it.
Hey, Dave.
Damn it, the key to my apartment isn't working anymore.
What? What do you mean?
The key to my apartment. I sold it to this tourist on the street. I told him it was the key to the vaccine.
Jesus, really, Dave? Wow, that works? How much did you get?
Not nearly enough. Dave asked if he could sleep over my place.
Yeah. Does anyone knock anymore?
Do you have any idea who you sold it to?
Shit, nah.
Well, maybe we could make him a new key. Can't be that expensive.
Nope. He sold his lock last week as an AIDS cure to a guy from Maine.
From Love Foods Live, every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio.
Let's go, boys.
What up? Yo, Dan.
What up, Jeff?
Dude, yo, where does good food come from, bro?
Great question.
I have a few ideas, but I'm going to tell you, the Pantry, the number one gourmet specialty foods market in Fairfield, Connecticut. At the Pantry, their main goal is to provide customers with superior food.
Did you say their mangoes provide customer service?
Oh my
like
God,
it's a fucking dope mangoes.
Mango, man. It's my accent, bro. Every time I say mangoes.
I thought it said mangoes.
I was flowing. Like, even if I said mangoes. Legendary customer service. You'd expect an upscale market. The Pantry of Fairfield has it all.
Dan, that's right. Award-winning pastries, spectacular prepared foods, amazing deli and salad bar, specialty things, top quality meats, seafood produce, and so much more.
And hey, they got coffee too, I heard.
Lots of coffee. Amazing. Baristas. They handle it out there.
He said in Spanish.
The sexual part, though, is that...
Dude, the pastries, fire.
Wait, did you say the sexual part?
No, the Pantry, what sets them apart.
Oh, sex
the Pantry, what sets them apart.
Great Man. Customer service, great food, and they're great employees. Don't forget to check out the take-home meals section as well. Try one today. Plum's favorite, the Duroc pork chops with the Mongolian sauce. Shit's Ooh. Fire.
Grilled to perfection at the Pantry, 1580 Post Road in Fairfield, Connecticut. Good food starts here.
Vagina warts.
Oh, yeah, boys. You know what I'm talking about to you right now? I'm not sure what kind of knives you're using in your kitchen or what kind of knives you have in your knife roll, but you know what I use? Ergo Chef knives. Some of the best knives on the planet made by even better human beings. And I'll tell you what. These knives are guaranteed for life, it feels like. If there's a bad thing that happens with this knife, they will take care of it for you. They'll sharpen for you. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of great people using these knives. Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, you name it. These guys are using these knives. And yeah. Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, and Chef Dan. Hey, we all like Ergo Chef knives. It's a great product. These guys are fantastic. Use promo code PLUM for a great discount on an already amazing product. Check them out at ErgoChefKnives.com.
Look at that. Nailed it. This guy.
Damn. And our next sponsor, I'd like to bring up a
Everybody just keeps talking.
The
there should be a break in between. Your guys, your mics are even muted. You're just talking.
No, I wanted to do another live read here for a new sponsor.
All right. Here, let me get some music for you.
Peace by the Sea.
Ooh.
By Harry Thomas.
Wait, I gotta change music for that one. Here you go. Jeffy, what you reading?
Peace by the Sea.
What's that?
Inspiring images and quotes to light your way.
Is that it?
Yeah, I thought you were going to take up the next part.
Oh.
I thought we were going to go back and forth, like line for line.
Got you. Inspiring pictures, inspiring quotes written by some of the best celebrities out there. Jeffy, this book really puts you on cloud nine.
Puts you on cloud nine and edited by a master.
Listen, Harry if you're Thomas. Looking for some amazing quotes, amazing photography, an inspiring book by a man who just might have been everywhere. As a matter of fact, he starred with Al Pacino in a movie. Harry Thomas is the writer, director, and author of this book. Peace by the Sea, Jeffy.
Peace by the Sea. Inspiring images and quotes to light your way.
Available now at all fine booksellers and Amazon.com. Coming back to Plum Love Foods Live right here on Spreaker Radio. Back live as can be when this beat drops here in 1 second with my friend Dama Beats. We got to get him on this program. We use so much of his music. I dig it all the time. But it's time to take it to the next level as soon as this motherfucker drops that beat. Yeah, that's right. back here on a Thursday with the boys, Chef Plum, Chef Dan, Chef Jeffy, hanging out with you live here on Plum Love Foods Live. Jeffy, that new book, I'm excited to check that out, that new sponsor.
Dude, you know, when they reached out, I was super excited. I mean, I got my copy.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it absolutely it will uplift you in the morning. If incredible. You're in the bath, I mean, little secret about Jeff. Where I like to read most of my inspirational material is on the shitter.
On the toilet.
Oh, yeah. Right there on the old porcelain throne.
Wow. Wow. Chef Derek really enjoyed that live read.
Chef Derek inspires me on a daily basis. Shout out to Chef Derek.
Shout out to Chef Derek. That's right. He's down there in Chicotee, you know,
Chicotee,
doing his thing. Baby. Dan, let me ask you a question, Dan. Do you think that oh, my microphone's been turned the wrong way the whole time. Do you think that positions in a restaurant matter? Like, do you think that the titles, does it make a difference? And let me ask you this. Is there a title that you think you couldn't do?
See, that's an extremely, like, deep question, because there's so many different ways in which any person, you can call an executive chef in one place one thing and an executive chef in another place another. So it's hard to say. I've worked in situations where, as a kid, I was 18 years old and given the opportunity to run a kitchen on a shift for a period of time, overseeing a lot of people with very little experience, just being in the right place at the right time. And the way it worked out for the military being that I was the highest in charge. It had nothing to do with anything else. It was a clear cut. I was the highest ranked person there, so I was automatically in charge.
So, Jeffy, let me ask you, Jeffy. Kitchen manager versus chef, is there a big difference?
Yeah, to be completely honest, I haven't had a lot of experience with kitchen managers. I mean, I've had more of general manager experience, where I've always, like, taken care of the kitchen and the general manager is kind of taking care of the rest of the restaurant.
Dan, can a executive chef have a kitchen manager in their brigade?
I don't even fucking know what the kitchen manager is.
All right, well, let's get into it, because I got a great article here. It just came out. From our friends over at Webstaurant Store, actually, they're describing the basic common restaurant staff with details, and they have a general, like, average wage here, but it's really bad and can't possibly be true, at least not anymore. But maybe it is. Maybe it is throughout the country if you average it, I guess. I want to start here with the kitchen manager position, because I think it's interesting. Because my first actual job being in charge, I was a kitchen manager. And it's because I wasn't a chef yet, but I was in charge of the kitchen. Does that make sense? Like, it wasn't like I had a lot of, like, creativity writing a menu. I could do specials every day, but otherwise, here's the menu, here's what you do, here's your staff, and you're in charge. You make the schedule, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of places just call that a sous chef.
But if there's no chef in the building.
What do you mean there's no chef in the building? There's a kitchen manager here, but there's nobody that runs the kitchen?
Correct. My first job as a kitchen manager, I was the top of the food chain in the kitchen.
I guess that's kind of what I was describing.
Did you cook anything?
Yeah. I worked the line every day.
Well, you worked the line every day, and they just gave you the title kitchen manager.
Well, yeah, but I made the schedule. I did all the ordering, did inventory.
It's like when Danya was like, Jeff, you're my sous chef now. But it was just me, him, and a dishwasher in the kitchen.
Well, let me read you the job description, okay? Like general managers, kitchen managers are responsible for hiring and firing employees, buying supplies and ingredients, and ensuring quality. However, a general manager controls both kitchen employees and front-of-the-house employees, whereas a kitchen manager only manages back-of-the-house operations. Some of the job requirements are excellent people skills, calm under pressure, and may require 2 to 4 years of experience. I mean, that sounds like a sous chef to me.
Right, this is just a language. This is like a language thing. I just don't think that everyone uses the same, like, kitchen brigade language anymore. So it's like it could be anything. You know, like, people say, like, oh, sous chef, you know, and you're the chef de cuisine, and you're the chef.
Listen,
of the party.
A place like Chili's isn't going to have a chef. They may have a kitchen manager.
Right. Yeah, well, that's exactly what they'd have. I mean, I guess, yeah, like, I guess kitchen managers in, like, McDonald's and in fast food restaurants, too, those are kitchen managers. Like, the guy.
Yeah, probably
the guy
a kitchen supervisor or something like that. Well, let me read you the job description for executive chef and let's see how different it is. The executive chef is responsible for every aspect of food that is prepared and served. Behind the scenes of any fine dining kitchen, executive chefs are creating menus, managing kitchen staff, and making sure that the food that leaves the kitchen is up to standards. The requirements usually requires a culinary degree or several years of experience, management skills, the ability to work quickly and efficiently, highly organized. I mean, I don't think that's that different.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's just a language thing, I think.
Dan, you've been quiet for a minute. What do you think?
I worked in, when I worked in New Orleans at Cape Paul's, there was an executive chef, an executive sous chef, a head chef,
right,
a sous chef, chef de cuisine. And it was like, well, who the hell's in charge? You know, I don't know. It's just a bunch of people with different names, and it's just weird. I don't know. It depends where you're working.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at Mohegan Sun. It's like that at Mohegan Sun. I bet you, I wonder if they have kitchen managers that manage like schedule and do like, take some of the stuff off of the chef's plate.
Yeah, I bet they do.
I wonder how that would work.
How about this? What about short order cook versus line cook? Is there a difference?
There used to be. There used to be that short order cook was a straight up grill man.
Yeah.
That was it. And then a line cook could work in burgers. Nice restaurants. Yeah.
Yeah.
A fry cook and a short order cook are about the same thing in my mind.
So a fry cook is a short order cook could basically be a fry cook, but you don't think like a solid grill guy is definitely better than a short order cook, you think?
Well, I mean, if you have a guy who went to culinary school or that's worked like enough positions to where he's a solid grill guy in a really busy restaurant, I would suspect he's better than some short order cooks. But I got to be honest, I got a lot of my chops doing short order cooking at a young age.
Like, and listen, none of this is disrespect. This is just
conversation. I'm just saying, it's just like the way you have to think as a short order cook, you know, because I mean, a lot of diners and places that are short order cooks, shout out to those guys in the pits. When you're, you know, you have one flat top and whatever, 100 seats.
Right.
And they're turning, you know, they want their eggs in 5 minutes or less. And you have to have such a compartmentalized mind as those tickets are flying in on a Sunday morning that it's incredible. And everyone has to be working with you as a machine. It has to be like every time the ticket machine makes that noise, toast goes in that fucking conveyer, regardless if it's on the order. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think you're right. Those guys are some seriously focused individuals when it's busy. And when they're busy, there's none better.
That's what I'm saying. It's really impressive. When you go to the places that like, you know, like there's that one really famous diner in Roscoe right outside, right up by the CIA. And on a really busy day, you know, you go in there on like a Sunday when there's a line outside and you watch those guys in the kitchen, you can just see like the sweat almost just like pouring off them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, it's really impressive. It's really impressive.
They can rock it. Dan, I mean, I think that a really solid short order cook could probably be taught to be a cook in any restaurant.
Absolutely. Yo, I worked at this Mirror Canteen in Bridgeport. It was an icon. I worked there. I got lucky to go there. They had two guys that worked the grill, and that was it. If those guys didn't work the grill, the fucking place was closed. And they did everything by memory. There was no tickets. They came through. They said, what do you want? 12 hot dogs, this, this, and this. Yo, they remembered it, passed it on. They hooked it up. They were going back and forth, and it was just a flow. And you were just like, holy shit. Wow. And I would get to put the sauces on and stuff, and they'd be like, you got to get it. And it was crazy. Damn. They were on it. And it was no, like I said, no tickets. Everything was by head, and she would punch it into the computer. It was sick. And they had two people that worked the registers. That was the owner and this one girl and two kids who were the sons of the owners worked the grill. And it was just a system. And they can go in any restaurant and knock it out. I promise you. The memory like that, there's nothing that can stop them.
Well, let me read you the description from this article here from Webster on Store. It's they put out an article here, friends, where it just talks about the different definitions of these different positions in restaurants. So short order cook can be found in diners and fast casual eateries, serving up quick recipes like breakfast food, sandwiches and burgers, and even salads. They must be able to work quickly and competently as they work to prepare several orders at once. Short order cook job requirements works well with others. Ability to work quickly and efficiently. Experience in a restaurant kitchen may be required. I think if you get a good short order cook, this person probably doesn't work well with others, but he doesn't have to because he's a fucking G.
Well, they just have to, I mean, you have to be nice to the waitresses and shit, and or waiters or whoever's working in that place, and the dishwashers. Like, you have to be able to get along kind of with everybody. I feel like, you know, we came up in the days when chefs were allowed to be really curmudgeon-y and shit. That doesn't really fly so much anymore.
No, definitely not.
You know what I mean? Like, a lot of owners of restaurants and owners of establishments aren't into, like, the guy who's, like, not fucking happy and, like, you know, drinks too much and fucking yells at people and all that kind of shit. I mean, that's just, like,
you're describing me.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's that, which leads me to the next talk. You know, let's get our guests. We have a few guests to come on to talk about some things with you.
Yeah, we've been planning this for a while now.
And yeah, we've been, Dan, I think it's a good time. All right. We love you, Plum.
Let me read you the line cook description. Let's see how different it is. It says, although the duties differ depending upon the establishment, line cooks can be found in most restaurants, excluding fast food. A line cook may be responsible for one or multiple areas of the kitchen, such as the grill or fryer, depending on the size or scale of the restaurant. Line cook requirements. Works well with others. Works well with a select few, I would say. Ability to work quickly and efficiently. Experience in a restaurant may be required. I mean, they sound very similar to me.
They do sound similar, dog.
Why is... Who the fuck is putting, like, late... like boundaries on where a line cook you're a line cook, you can't work in, like, the fuck? Yo, maybe he's in a town where he got to take the bus to the place. Like, oh, because the dude been a line cook for 20 years and he goes works at a Greasy Spoon, he ain't a line cook no more. What the fuck? Get out of here.
Shorter cook now. Listen, it's part crazy. Of the problem with this industry is that, I mean, there really isn't any defined terms for a lot of things, a lot of positions in the industry. And, you know, I mean, people are trying, like, they're trying to write this up and just to give descriptions to people, but, you know, what's it mean? Nothing. But it's still pretty interesting to see what other people's, you know, look at it as, I think.
I guess it matters where you're from, too.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it, because it's just lingo, and lingo's going to change. Like, the military is different than people, like, in the South, and the South is different from anybody in, you know, on the West Coast.
How about this? Can an executive chef easily transition into a food and beverage manager?
That depends on his experience.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it depends on what kind of chef he was and how organized he is, because a good food and beverage manager has to be really on point with their PARs and their, like,
food costs.
Yeah, food costs and things like that. You know, it's like not all chefs, like, some chefs can be really great chefs and really great hustlers and know that they're not letting anything go to waste, so they can just guesstimate that their food costs are going to be good, and they do okay for a while, you know, until something really bad happens.
this comes that language we're talking about here. There's no, like, direct terminology for it. You know, when I used to run hotels, one particular one in Florida, you know, there was different food outlets, and each outlet had its own staff, its own management team, etc. Right, but all of, like, the management team for each different food outlet reported to the food and beverage manager or the food and beverage director. Like, he was their boss. So it seemed like the logical next step if you were, you know, in that role. Our friend Nick, like, he's kind of taken that role at his hotel now, where he's kind of gone from being the chef to the food and beverage director now.
And Nick's also an incredibly intelligent man. Like, that, he knows what's going on. Like, he knows his shit. You could tell because he's been in that restaurant. He was running that shit the way it was. Like, it was, I don't think it was a big of a transition for him. Like, I guarantee that when he was there as a chef, he was running the same shit anyway. Like, so that's Nick. And you have to be that person. And that's exactly the case. Like, he's a perfect example of, he's running it like that. It was a transition that was only logical for him to make. And it's like, that's, if it's working in a regular restaurant, that's just the restaurant, it's going to be a lot more difficult of a transition.
And that's his title now, right?
Yes.
And that's his current title. So I think, like, I think if you if you're in a large enough establishment, that's what you're aspiring to get to. Like if you're in the hotel game, if you're a part of restaurants that have multiple restaurants and stuff like that, you know, food and beverage director of that company, you're like what Tom does is probably like a higher echelon in those kind of jobs.
Yeah, Tom with Morph Hospitality, right?
Yeah, with Morph Hospitality, then with Manit in Nashville.
Great restaurant, by the way.
I am so jealous of your trip down there. The pictures, just getting to hang out with Tom, hearing the stories, the whole thing sounded so dope.
Well, you never know. It might be a chance for us to go down there again, too. So I think, like I said, I think it's a natural progression. I mean, I actually think maybe for an outlet like Dan has at the pantry, maybe there could be a food and beverage manager type person there with the baristas and, that could be a possibility because you have different outlets.
Yeah, we have something like that. I mean, that's kind of there's three owners, and one of the owners basically would be that role. They take care of all the beverages that come in, all the coffee, all the front of house grocery stuff, all the food that comes in from anything that's related to grocery.
But I think you're right. These lines definitely are getting blurred now, way more than they were when we were younger, you know?
Yeah, they're crazy. They're all over the place. I don't even know. Like I said, it's just you go into a place and they decide this is how we're running it, and that's it. And you can go into a place next door and it could be completely different. And that's just kind of, you just got to kind of roll with it. I think as chefs, though, it's pretty easy to just kind of roll with shit. I think our job, like you're, to be good at this, at the end of the day, you have to be able to just roll with shit and be able to handle it. And at the end, you don't give a fuck what your title is. You just do the job. Otherwise, you wouldn't be there.
Right. Well, let's switch gears to the front of the house really quick. And then we can move on for this. I just think it's a cool conversation to kind of compare these things because it's something that we don't think about very often. Jeffy, let me ask you. I'll start with that. A really good host or hostess compared to a maitre d', how different are the two positions in your mind?
Different in the sense that a host or hostess doesn't have usually the same authority as a maitre d'. A maitre d', in my mind, tends to run the floor for the waiters as well as the hostess. Like they kind of oversee the hostess station as well as like the bar station and the bar service as well as the floor. Like if there's anything going on with
the waiters, they would be. A maitre d' could almost be like a service manager.
In my mind, that's what I've always kind of thought of them as like a front of the house manager or, head waiter or something like that. So I kind of always see them as like the guy that like greets every single person that comes in. They might not take a table except maybe two or three of like the really high rollers, and they'll always have somebody else working with them. You know what I mean? I feel like, the term maitre d' is a little like you don't hear it as much anymore, because it's like an extra position that no one wants to pay for that kind of service. You know what I mean? It's like unless you're going to that sort of a place.
Yeah, it's like their job, their main job is to make sure the customers are happy.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that job, you eat a ton of shit.
Right, no doubt about it.
Nobody wants to pay anybody to eat that amount of shit anymore.
Yeah, Dan, what about you? Do you see a big difference in the two?
Yeah, it's a huge difference in my mind. And maybe one day in the 70s or the 60s, at some point, they had a host filling that role, but this day and age, in the last 30 years that I've seen, the host is always just usually a female, younger, kind of just holds a space at the podium until usually the maitre d' or somebody else comes back to grab whoever needs to be brought to a table for whatever reason. Or she's, taking names down on a piece of paper. And that's pretty much anywhere you go, or putting it into a computer. And that's usually the role they play, or they walk somebody to the table. A maitre d' is the person running the show, the captain or whatever of all the servers, making sure everything's going the way it's supposed to be going, even should have some wine knowledge, a good understanding of the menu, not just the person who's talking to customers, but understands everything that's on the menu and is able to tell all the other servers what's on the menu. Like,
have a great relationship with the chef.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, man. The description on the article here from Web Restaurant Store goes like this. Similar to a host or hostess, the maitre d' is the first face customers see when they enter a fine dining establishment. Maitre d's must arrange reservations and seat guests, but are also responsible for management duties in the dining room, including creating a schedule for the wait staff, The maitre d' ensures customer service above all, making it an extremely important part of the fine dining experience. Job requirements, patience, excellent people skills, calm under pressure, and highly organized. Yeah, I agree with all that. I don't think I have a problem with any of that. Compared to the host description, you ready? The host or hostess is responsible for the customer's initial reaction in any casual or fine dining restaurant. They must smile and greet customers, then take them to their seats and distribute menus. They are also responsible for answering the phone calls and scheduling reservations. Okay, that's interesting. Requirements, patience, excellent people skills, calm under pressure, highly organized. So the job requirements, according to this article, are the exact same between the two positions. But yeah, I think, you know, a host is basically a maitre d' without the management level control. How about that?
Yeah, I would say it was a little bit different of a description. The other ones were much similar. These two, I don't know. I think that it has a good maitre d', because you're right, the management is big. Like, it's not, you can't say, oh, it's just management. Like, no, the management part is the other half of a whole. Like, that's a huge part of the difference. Right.
Well, last one, what about, and we won't spend a lot of time on this, but I think it's interesting. Jeffy, what about a good sommelier versus a fucking first-round draft pick bartender? Every restaurant has that bartender who is the guy or the girl.
Yeah, no, bartender, that's the guy or the girl, but you're talking top-of-the-line sommelier or like sommelier out of culinary school?
Well, I mean, sommelier is just, you know.
I'm just saying, because there's like a difference. There's like people who are like, oh,
like a level one. What is there, four levels? Like a level one sommelier who's passed the first test. They got generally pretty good wine knowledge.
Don't overthink it, Jeff. It's just
an A1 bartender usually has a very well-rounded knowledge of the bar, like cocktails, like, you know, mixologist sort of, but maybe not fully mixologist. Also knows a little bit of wine, but it's probably just,
but
like,
may know the wines that you have at the restaurant. He may not know every wine.
Know if
he knows
a good
what you
bartender,
got in house.
They'll taste and they'll be sold on every one of those wines by those people who come in. So they'll know every single thing that's going on.
Right, but they don't be able to tell you what the domain is and what are the, you know, wine rules with labels in Rhone, France. You know, they may not tell you all that shit, but they could say, hey, we have this great Chardonnay that pairs. I had it last night with this pasta. It was delicious. Try this. It's dry. It's, you know, sweet. Like, they would have a pretty good grasp on what's in-house, I think.
Yeah. I think they're absolutely right. I think they would have a great idea of what's in-house. I feel like a sommelier might have a deeper knowledge of wine and spirits, maybe not so much beer, and like maybe not so much cocktails, but they might know like a lot more of like, you know, bourbons and scotch and, you know, like, you know, really like all the botanicals that are involved in gin and things like that. Like, but they might not know some of the other stuff.
Well, not Dan, let me ask you, Dan, what do you prefer when you go to a restaurant? Do you want like a great bartender, or do you prefer to have like a sommelier come out and discuss what you're eating and drinking and pair it up perfectly for you?
That is what I was going to say is the difference, is the sommelier would do the food, where a bartender wouldn't really know how to pair anything up. That was what I was saying my difference was. And I would say the sommelier, because usually anywhere I go, I'm trying to eat. So if I'm eating, I want somebody
to stop you there,
because
now I don't think that's a fair, that's a really generalization thing you just did there. I think there's some bartenders who are G bartenders who have been at this restaurant for a long time, who know their menu, they know the food, they're tight with the chef, they pair things with it. Like I said, they may not know anything outside of their restaurant, but they know what they have in house. And I've watched it happen where my wife will order and she'll ask, you know, the bar, hey, whatever is, you know, yeah, I'm a big fan of something. It's red, that's light and dry, and they'll hit it on the nose perfectly.
I don't disagree with you. I think there's a bartender that could do that, and there's a sommelier that would know what you're talking about. So I think that goes both ways. So, yeah, I don't disagree with you.
But a great sommelier can really make you feel special at a restaurant.
Yeah, be like, oh, cherry, show you, tell you exactly why it matches and all this other stuff and give you all the...
Yeah, or I've had him come out and say, chef, we, you know, we knew you were coming, so we saved this little bit for you, which we all know is bullshit. They opened a bottle and they wanted, you know... Give you a little bit to taste. The sommelier makes that call, where the bartender may not do that.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Where they're like, this is great.
Just look at me like I'm crazy when I come into places to like gulp this guy again.
Wait, see, you got to work on your personnel skills. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I try, man. I just end up yelling.
You can't yell at people. Jeffy, tell him.
Yeah, Jeff, tell me.
Well, you know, Dan, you gotta yell nicer things.
You read the new book from Harry Thomas.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be a little more inspired. And you'd say stuff like, you know, hey, man, you look like you mow your lawn regularly.
Exactly. You have good dental hygiene.
Okay, terrific.
Great father.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
All right. Well,
I'm sorry.
Hello, this is Jose Heineken.
So, well, look, it's interesting. I think when people put articles out like this, man, it's just trying to put some kind of stability on the culture, on the positions, just to try to put something out there for people to have a basis or something to go by. They put down wages too, but they're way off. They got an executive chef making $30 to $50 an hour. I mean, it's just, you know, the maitre d's making $15 to $29 an hour. I don't know any maitre d that's going to make $15 an hour.
No. No.
You know, I don't know. Just, it's a little bit off here. You know, they got a general manager. What do they have a general manager out? Here it is. Common restaurant general manager, $24 to $31 an hour.
What was the difference between a general manager and a maitre d?
Nothing. Well, the general manager probably doesn't have as much wine knowledge as a maitre d.
So what would you rather have, a general manager or a maitre d?
I think every restaurant has a general manager. Someone has to be the guy.
I would think sometimes a maitre d could be the guy.
Interesting. I never thought about it like that. Jeffy, what do you think? I think of a maitre d as like an assistant manager.
Yeah, like I said, I think he's like more of like a head waiter, front of the house manager. Like, you know, he's probably been there the longest. He has like, you know, some sort of seniority over other waiters and front of the house people. That's how I see him. I don't know if he's actually, I almost feel like there's like a food and beverage manager above him that might like, you know, do ordering and making sure the stuff at the front of the house is there. He's probably more like,
you're talking about, it depends on the size of the place, though. That's
depends on the size of the place, and I always
that's feel a lot.
Like, I mean, there's factors in all of these things, but you know, we're just generalizing.
We're generalizing,
but you know, I still think it's all interesting to see how it kind of comes out, because it could, it's never quite as cut and dry as any description has, because like you guys said, there's so many factors. Like, you can't, it's hard to put a job description on a maitre d or an executive chef or a kitchen manager or a general manager and have it kind of be, you know, static through every restaurant, because every restaurant's different, which I think is why it's never been, you know, made that way. It's all very fluid.
I think pay has a lot to do with it. Because you could be like, oh, you're a maitre d, not the general manager, so I'm going to pay you maitre d money.
Which in some aspects could be more than general manager money.
Boom. So you got to pull out the book and be like, yeah, all right, cool.
You got to pull out the book. Well, good. Well, listen, we got this all figured out. That's what I want to talk. That's what I wanted to do. I want to figure that out. I feel like we really made some headway here, boys.
Great. Now we know. So when the spots opened up, we'll have a good idea. We're gonna have a general manager.
I'm excited,
we're gonna have executive sous chef. We're gonna have the executive sous chef. We're gonna have the CEO of sous chefs. We're gonna have
the sous chef de cuisine.
Sous chef de cuisine.
Then we got the chef de partier, sous chef de partier.
The head chef of all foods that go out only during midnight to 2 o'clock in the morning.
That would be the late night chef.
Late night chef.
Yeah. The late night chef.
Right. He's there for late nights.
Like the cleaning crew?
Well, who's the chef of the cleaning crew?
I don't know. I think it's like a guy who's been there a long time. They probably call him, like, you know,
Roberto,
Hester.
What about the dishwasher? He's got his sous chef too.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because the world's falling to shit, and the more and more I look and see things happening, the more and more I don't want to look anymore. I just checked in on some stuff going on. The poor people out in Ukraine still dealing with their nonsense. There's some video that recently surfaced of a Russian soldier using a razor knife to castrate a Ukrainian soldier who was, you know, hands behind his back and on the ground, couldn't move. It's just the worst thing ever. And I just feel like the world's coming to an end, and us as chefs are the ones who have to be prepared for the rest of the world. Jeffy, are you with me? We got to take care of the world.
Always wanted to take care of the world, bro.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. Well, AmericanPatriotSurvivalist.com has put out a list of foods that you should start stockpiling for the end of the world, Dan.
All right. And hold on. Let me get my pen.
Just get ready with it. Yep. So,
all right.
Number one on the list, and I don't think it's in any particular order here, but it's pasta. They say pasta is a vegetable that's high in carbohydrates that also keeps for an extremely long time and may be cooked in many different ways.
It's a vegetable.
That's what it says. This is why they need chefs in the world to be like, the fuck is wrong with you survivalist motherfuckers?
Pasta is a vegetable. I'm writing this down. Is a vegetable.
Jeffy, is there any way that pasta can be a vegetable?
I didn't know this.
Yeah, so is ketchup, you know, if you're like George Bush Jr. or whatever the fuck his name was.
They also think they also say freeze-dried food is very important. When properly stored, your freeze-dried meal will be ready for you when you need it. They have a shelf life of 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's crazy right there. It also talks about apple cider vinegar. It's also worth noting that apple cider vinegar has been shown to help with the healing of wounds. ACV is a necessary component in homemade salad dressings, as well as having a number of health advantages. I'd agree with that. Apple cider vinegar is probably a good thing to have.
I love apple cider vinegar.
Shelf life on apple cider vinegar, though, is way less than a lot of other vinegars.
Yeah, that's true. Next one I have concerns about, leavening agents. Without the inclusion of baking powders and other rising agents required for making bread and other baked goods. This is like incomplete sentences written here. No stockpile is complete. So make sure you have your...
You probably shouldn't listen to this guy.
This is on the internet, Jeffy. The internet knows everything.
No, if the guy's writing this article, I want there to be... There should be misspellings. There should be run-on sentences. It should all be one paragraph.
This is a survivalist. He's going to keep us alive. He's not going to... Yeah, he's not going to write us a story.
Yeah, if this shit was perfect, I'd be like, fuck this guy. Like, he owns a typewriter. Just fuck this guy.
Owns a typewriter.
This guy knows what he's talking about.
He also says protein powders are good to have. Whey, egg whites, and other protein powders are excellent for adding to smoothies and increasing your protein intake when other options are limited. It's the end of the world, the apocalypse. Not sure if my Vitamix is going to work. Just pointing that out.
Well, if you get, like, one of those bicycle...
we're gonna build one. No question.
Things. Yeah, absolutely.
No, you get the old school, the crank handle.
Oh,
I got one.
Seen those. Yeah,
the antique joint. Yeah, those are dope.
You think it's gonna make
a dance house for margaritas in the apocalypse? That's how
it works. I got all that shit. I love that old school shit. I got an old school.
Ain't gonna have no lemons, but that's cool. It's gonna suck, man, with no lemons in the world, right?
He talks about dried corn being important. Corn is a nutritious and versatile food that may be ground into cornmeal, propped to make popcorn, or use the seed to grow fresh corn for eating. Corn also destroys other vegetables. So if you're going to plant corn, you got to plant it away from everything.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if we want corn. There's nothing else we can have? Like peas?
No, there's plenty more. We can have ready-to-eat dried meals. Isn't it the same thing as freeze-dried? But he calls it number 7. You don't have the ingredients or energy to prepare meals from scratch. Pre-cooked dinners provide nutritious options. This guy's a fucking loser. Jeffy, I'm with you. He's repeating things already. We're only on number 7.
I like this guy.
Whole grains, flour, however, does not keep well, but it keeps as well as your ready-to-eat dried meals. Whole grains, on the other hand, do. You can make your own bread, pancakes, cakes, cookies, and other baked items if you have a grain mill and whole grains. So, Dan, put on our list, we got to bring a grain mill.
Grain mill. Definitely need to have a grain mill. In a buffalo chopper? Should we need one of those too?
Yeah, let's see if we have room, but I think that might be a good idea. Rice. This is the first one I agree with that makes sense. Rice is a great source of carbohydrates, which keeps for a long time. Choose rice that is made from whole grains instead of quick rice. The shelf life of rapid rice is extremely limited. Rice may be cooked in many different ways, much like pasta. I think rice is a great thing to keep around. What do you think, Jeffy?
Listen, I think there's 1 billion people in the world that live on rice.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
I survived pretty much that place for a long time.
Breakfast cereals, this type of comfort food that children particularly enjoy. Avoid purchasing the sweeter kids' cereals, but go for the more basic options like Cheerios instead. This will keep well if properly stored.
There's grape nuts that stay forever.
I'm going to pick some Lucky Charms up, and they're going to be delicious.
They're just going to be stale. They're not going to be as good.
I have been known to eat a bowl of stale Lucky Charms.
Yep, you know.
Which is why, Dan, we're going to add vacuum sealer to our list of things to bring.
Vacuum sealer. Buffalo chopper. Vacuum grain sealer. Mill. Vacuum sealer.
I mean, we could put the fucking Vitamix on there, too, but I don't know if it's going to work.
I mean, I got this little battery thing. It's dope. You can plug anything into it.
All right, let's phone, do that.
Yeah, I got that.
Dried beans are definitely what we need for the apocalypse, as well as canned meat. That's just going to start going through a little faster. Beef jerky or turkey jerky is also a great one. I love this one. Number 14 says, Jeffy, we should bring summer sausage.
Hell yeah.
Sachi
Chong. Making it out of rats.
Sachi Chong. Arroz con gandules.
Powdered milk. Sounds great. And spaghetti sauce, it says, is a great thing to bring with you.
Super smart, yeah.
But not cans of tomatoes.
Well,
yeah. I think that's smart. I think canned tomatoes. I also think sun-dried or freeze-dried tomatoes are great. They can, like, you can reconstitute them and turn them into a sauce quickly. It's
just
delicious.
Make sure you get the big cans, because the little cans have money in them.
Yeah, they do.
Soups, sugar, honey, salt is number 21. Salt would have been pretty high up on my list, because if I have salt, I can make squirrel taste good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Salt is anything.
Spices, yeah, salt. Peanut butter. I mean, I think peanut butter is kind of a waste of time. Dried fruit, nuts, cooking oil, coffees, and teas. This guy, Dan, this list was bullshit.
Sounds terrible.
Survival food.
How would you gather all these things?
What do you bring?
Yo, does he say anything about Chef Boyardee?
I'm looking. I don't see anything here. Nope, nothing.
Chef Boyardee's nuts, tasty.
Oh, shit. Jeffy. Yeah. Jeffy's obviously bringing his D's nuts jokes for the apocalypse.
Of course. I gotta come with something to break up this fucking monotony.
Ouch.
I'm just teasing.
I'm trying to push through here. Power through, brother.
He's like, we're all gonna die. What are you?
We're all gonna die.
Well,
we're only gonna have these handful of items that bring us no joy.
Well, if we're gonna bring our items for the apocalypse, the hole that we've dug in the ground, you're gonna come with us.
Bring unfrosted shredded wheat.
We're gonna talk about what we would bring with us on the after show, the dive bar live on Instagram after the program here. About 5 minutes when we end here, shortly you can join us there. Mm. We're gonna talk a survival dive recipe bar and what we should bring as chefs with us. And I know one thing Jeffy's going to bring. He's got some D's nuts he's going to bring with us, because Jeffy comes in there with the funny, right? He's not only bringing food and culinary skill and prowess, he brings the funny, Dan.
Always. He's a funny guy.
He is a funny guy. You know, one of my favorites, Jeffy, has got to be Dunkin' D's nuts.
Dunkin' D's nuts is good. Dunkin' these nuts is good. There's a lot of really good ones.
Well, Jeffy's got he's going to give us his top five D's nuts jokes.
Oof. Are you into fitness?
Yeah, a little bit, Jeffy. What kind of fitness?
Fitting these nuts in your mouth.
How can you trip over the first one? Fitting these nuts in your mouth. I like that. That's pretty good. What else you got?
Let's see.
All right, good talk.
You like tulips?
Do I like tulips, you said?
Yeah.
I mean, sure. What kind of tulips?
Oh, because you'd love to put your tulips on these nuts.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
What else you got, Jeff?
You like trade expos?
Fucking love the strangest them thing you've ever said to me.
I love trade expos.
Expose these nuts.
Okay, terrific.
Great. Oh,
Jeffy, you might get left outside.
Yo, I want to ask you something about Kenya, though, for real.
Oh, what's up with Kenya?
Yeah, can you fit these nuts in your mouth?
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
I mean, they've let me and Dan into this underground compound. We're not sure if you're coming in yet, Jeffy. Give us one more. It's going to make them let you in.
What?
You can't sit here silently.
Hold on. Because there's 1,000 of them and I'm laughing, but some are not good.
You just got to be quiet. Those are the ones I would read, the ones that aren't good.
Oh, you know who Ivan Putin is?
I just want to point out, like, there's no setup for the joke, is there? You have to, like, read it and then come up with the setup, don't you?
Yeah, because there's no setup. It's terrible. You know who Ivan Putin is?
No, who's Ivan Putin?
I've been putting these nuts on your chin.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, that's a great one, man. I'm in. Come on, there, let me right in.
Come on, do it one more.
All right. You never guess who I saw hanging out together.
Go ahead, Dad. You could tell. You could take it.
Who was hanging out?
These nuts. Man, I can't believe they've been together for 46 years now, man. Can you believe that?
Who's been out together that long, Jeffy?
These nuts.
Hey.
Here we go.
I think your new thing should be every guest we have on the show, you give them a D's nuts joke before we let them go.
Yo. Fit it in there anywhere. They say something, and you just want to eat these nuts.
Did you get it out, Jeff, or you got more?
I don't know. What was the other name for Native Americans?
These nuts?
No. I don't know, Jeffy. What was the other name for Native Americans?
Oh, is there another name for Native Americans? What to call them?
I don't know, Jeffy. What was it? All right. I'll bite. Why not? Indians?
You mean Indies nuts?
I hate this bit so much. Shit. All right, look, stay tuned for the dive bar on Instagram here in just a few minutes.
Right? You know him?
Who's that?
Barbie's boyfriend, Ken. You know him?
Oh, I don't think I know Ken.
Can he fit these nuts in your mouth? Yo, I want you to stop, though.
Stop what?
Stop putting these nuts in your fucking mouth!
Even Dad's not laughing anymore.
No, that one was good. I liked that last one.
No, he said, no, that was a good one. I liked that one.
That was a good one.
All right, listen. We appreciate you listening to Plum Love Foods Live, breaking that knowledge, hanging out with us this evening. We really appreciate you. Make sure you check out the dive bar just a few minutes on Instagram Live. For Chef Jeff, Chef Plum. Oh, Jeffy, what is it?
Did you guys hear what just happened to Justin?
Justin who?
Justin Tompany's nuts!
See you next week right here on Plum Love Foods Live. Jesus, Jeffrey. Remember, food is one of those important things we have in life. Everything in port life revolves around food. Let's give it the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week right here on D's Nuts.
Power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.